We build trust, which is very important, trusting the message that we both are thoughtful to our people, our community members, and not just to trust the message, but trust the messenger also. And that's one of the things that come up very strongly on the ground as we continue to conduct the response community engagement training.
Welcome to Contain This. I'm Andrew Everett, an advisor from the Indo-Pacific Center for Health Security. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of country throughout Australia and the region. We recognize the continuing connection to land, waters, and community, and would like to pay our respects to elders past and present. Today, we're hearing from three exceptional people who are all involved in an innovative behavioral change program known as Vaccine Champions. This program was developed first in Victoria, Australia, and has since been rolled out in Fiji and Vietnam. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to talk with Sister Lidiana Volavola, the National Program Manager for the Expanded Program of Immunization and Supply Chain within Fiji's Ministry of Health and Medical Services. Sister Liddy has a decorated career managing countless vaccine preventable disease program areas and leads many elements of Fiji's COVID-19 vaccine rollout. I also met with Professor Thu An, who is head of the Bulcog Institute of Medical Research in Vietnam, who also holds an honorary position as a senior clinical lecturer at the University of Sydney, and is also an epidemiologist and social scientist by training with more than 20 years of experience. Third, and finally, the lead of this project, Professor Margie Danchin. Margie is a pediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital and group leader of the Vaccine Uptake Group at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, and is also a clinical scientist at the University of Melbourne. She's an immunization expert who leads a program of research on vaccine demand and uptake in Australia and across the Indo-Pacific region. She is also Deputy Chair of the Australian Regional Immunisation Alliance, or ARIA for short. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Thank you all for joining me. Let's jump in. I'm sure that most people listening haven't heard of a vaccine champion before. Margie, what is a vaccine champion?
Absolutely. The core essence of a vaccine champion is anyone, a trusted member of their community. And really importantly, they don't have to have a health background. They just need to be able to advocate and talk about and answer questions about all types of vaccines. Of course, more recently, that has been COVID vaccines, but it's about the routine EPI vaccines and any new vaccines that are being introduced into a community. And what a vaccine champion really can do is talk about their own personal experiences. They can tell stories and normalise vaccination and also guide people to trustworthy information. So, you know, a vaccine champion can come from just such a broad section across the community.
I think I'm warming up to the idea of calling myself a vaccine champion, Margie. We'll see how we go by the end of this podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, the key really is around, you know, a champion being able to build trust and to really address misinformation. And that's done by people we know, and that's people from our own communities, because that those are the people that we trust and we listen to, not necessarily, you know, an expert on the radio or the TV or reading information on a website.
So why is there a need for vaccine champions then, Margie?
Well, if you think about, you know, the challenges we've had around achieving very high, you know, vaccine coverage in the community, we always think about, well, what are the barriers to vaccination? And in general, that falls into two main categories. There are barriers around people actually being able to access vaccines, you know, such as having a big family and not being able to get public transport, or the clinics closed, or any number of access issues. And then there's acceptance issues, and that's, you know, really around the confidence of vaccines, people feeling that they can have their questions answered around vaccine safety or how well vaccines work. And this is where the champions fit in, to addressing those acceptance barriers, because what we're really talking about here is really effective and strong communication around vaccines and bringing communities together, community engagement. And so that's exactly what the Vaccine Champions program does. And the core, of course, is that it has to be locally adapted to whatever setting that the program is being delivered in so that it can reach those harder to reach or priority groups to really build confidence in vaccines. And that's exactly where we started with this program at the start of the COVID rollout in Australia.
Here today, if the Vaccine Champions program in Victoria wasn't a success, Margie, could you explain to listeners how this program that was effective in the Australian context, that works at the Australian community level, how could that be transposed into the Fijian context?
I think, you know, that's exactly what happened. We were so delighted with how well the program had gone in Australia that, you know, through ARIA, or the Australian Regional Immunisation Alliance, I really sought some funding and resources to design the program to initially be co-designed and adapted to countries in the Pacific. And fortunately, you know, Fiji was the first country that we approached. And, you know, you'll hear from Sister Liddy in a minute. But just to give you a brief little summary of the program, as I said, we did train 35 vaccine champions, and two-thirds of them went to run their own community sessions. And just under half of them had a health background. So again, broad representation from the community. And what was so exciting was, you know, representatives, particularly from Fiji rugby and cricket, who were just fantastic vaccine champions, as well as young people and faith leaders and, you know, the village headmen and so on, that really got that broad representation across the community. And then what was super exciting was that they went on to run nearly 55 community sessions, which reached over 1,000 community members. So, you know, for Fiji, I think it was an extraordinary example of what true partnership and co-design looks like.
1,000 community members, that is quite a high number. Sister Liddy, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. Given your role as Fiji's National EPI Program Manager, do you have any reflections on this collaborative design process or how this Vaccine Champions program built from existing MHMS endeavours?
Thank you, Andrew. But first, before I go into that, I'm just starting how I get to know about Vaccine Champions and the Vaccine Communication Program. We were introduced through UNICEF, and I think that again is through an undertaking by Pangarbiyas, how Maggie had mentioned, through this rapid formative assessment. And they had findings on information on COVID-19 acceptances and update. But what caught me and made me excited was part of the finding was in the studies that they found saying that risk communication and community engagement activities needed to be convened to engage families and friends and church leaders and other influencers in the community and build partnership and support citizens to be positive voices for their families and communities. So I said yes. And at the same time, because we were running the RISCOMS community engagement training, we were asked whether this was anything otherwise. I said, no, we'll just complement each other. And that left us to know that we were on the right track. So for me, I was super excited and advised those leaders to say, yes, bring a vaccine champion across. And we conduct the training together to reach our population that are still not reached with vaccination, because our overarching goal is to vaccinate everybody in Fiji.
Fantastic. It's wonderful to hear the themes of similar modalities of the training program. I want to ask Sister Liddy about the connection between the Vaccine Champions program and the connection to vaccination services. Given your role within the Fijian government, you are able to connect in Vaccine Champions into vaccination services to make sure that if there's a cohort of people that they've successfully been able to talk about intentions to vaccinate, where to from there? Are they able to be directed and supported into actually following through and getting a vaccination in Fiji?
It supported COVID vaccinations for us, and that's again based on Dr. Frawley's findings. Most of the time when the nurses do not have enough time, when they go to the communities, they planned places to visit, to places for vaccinations, and the nurses did not have time to talk about the vaccine or address concerns on AFIs. And so the nurses would just conduct the vaccination or leave the community and say that they would come back another time, which we did not do most of the time. So the vaccine champions were there on the ground to take this up. And so to those who have been convinced, they would be advised to come to the nearest health center. So that positioned us to have the supplies as near as it can be to the community. And at the same time, to build on that, we trained them more, not just on COVID vaccines, not just on booster, but because our pediatric vaccination was, you know, was on the horizon for us.
Thanks, Sister Liddy. It sounds like thanks to your connections and your embeddedness and your leadership within the Ministry of Health and Medical Services, you were able to position the Vaccine Champions program so that it was able to address both the barriers to access, i.e. bringing the vaccine supply to the community, as well as working with the Vaccine Champions to work on vaccine acceptance. So that sounds pretty impressive and comprehensive. I'd like to bring in Professor Tuan Nguyen, the head of the Wilcock Institute, into the conversation. Tuan, there really seem to be a considered two-step process in Vietnam that yourself and others drafted, one that didn't assume Vaccine Champions to be the solution. Can you explain how the communications desk review and a communication plan that was conducted informed the future Vaccine Champions program in Vietnam?
Andrew, the situation in Vietnam is quite different from many other countries. While it is, the high vaccination coverage is not across all population. In some specific population, the coverage is pretty low. For example, among elderly with comorbidities or like children under 18 years old, at the time we started the program, vaccination coverage is very low. And we decided to conduct a desk review to understand who are they, who are the people who haven't got the vaccine yet, where are they, why they do not go for vaccination, and what drive the other group, those who already accept to have vaccine, came for a vaccine, and how could we approach those who refuse to come for a vaccine. So we conducted a desk review together with the partners in the country, such as UNICEF, Ministry of Health, and lecturers at different medical universities, to collect, to compile evidences to provide answer to the question. And from the result of the desk review, we identified targeted audiences for the COVID-19 vaccination program. We identified approach to reach them and what messages to address their concern to prevent them to go for vaccination. And from that process to develop, we found that broad communication reached large group of population. However, in Vietnam, there are specific group of population who refuse to have vaccine, and we need to find a way to reach them and to send them the right message. And the only way, the most effective way, is to have a champion, to have a network of vaccine champion at the community level to help us to reach to the most concerned.
And so the identification of key population groups and specific subpopulations, was that a real priority for the Ministry of Health? Was that the driving force behind the creation of this program of work?
Yes, it is a priority for the Ministry of Health as well as for the government of Vietnam. Before we conducted this work, there was a lot of discussion between DIFA, NC, Murdoch Institute, and Woodcock Institute with the Ministry of Health to identify the area that we can provide technical assistance in the most fruitful and effective way. And the Ministry of Health would like to learn who do not came for the vaccine and how we can reach them and what message we should send them and how to send the message to the people so that the vaccination coverage in Vietnam could reach to a much higher level.
As DFET's program manager for this work, it is so excellent to hear that there is such close alignment with UNICEF and that UNICEF, along with DFAT, are financially supporting this incredible program. Margie, I know that you're working quite close to this Vietnam expansion. Did you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew, and great to hear Tuanne talk so, you know, in such detail about the program. I think what I would say at this point is, you know, I think we feel incredibly proud, as I said, of the partnership and of the initial success in terms of being able to work so closely with the Ministry of Health, engaging our six master trainers who've been able to, you know, translate the program and deliver it to the provincial trainers, you know, and in the first part of the program, we had, you know, nearly 100 provincial healthcare workers that received the training and are now going on to conduct their own sessions to train community vaccine champions who will then deliver their own sessions. So I think that's, you know, really exciting. And as we see the expansion now, we're going to go back and update the training for those existing provincial healthcare workers and champions, and now, of course, expand to the different provinces, as you said. But also, it's really important, I think, that this work is underpinned by a very clear evaluation framework so that we can really understand the reach of the program in terms of, you know, the numbers of champions trained and how many sessions they go on to deliver. The effectiveness is really critical in terms of vaccine uptake, doses delivered, changes in vaccine coverage. And then, of course, ultimately, the intention is that you decrease, you know, vaccine-preventable diseases in the community. So there's a lot that we need to do to measure the success and the impact of the program.
Thanks, Margie. Globally, there must be many eyes on this program if it is a effective and accepted way for community champions to go in and directly contribute to increased in immunization rates in key population groups. To close, I want to ask a question to Sister Liddy, drawing on your experience within Fiji's MHMS and Tuan, your experience within Vietnam's health systems. As Margie alluded to just now, in order for the Vaccine Champions program to continue to achieve meaningful immunization uptake outcomes into the future, it needs to have a sustainable program endpoints and be appropriately embedded within Fiji's MHMS and Vietnam's Ministry of Health respectively. What measures are in place or do you think should be put in place to ensure positively changed attitudes to immunizations are sustained going forward? I'll ask Sister Liddy if you could respond first.
We build trust, which is very important, trusting the message that we both thoughtful to our people, our community members, and not just to trust the message, but trust the messenger also. And that's one of the things that come up very strongly on the ground as we continue to conduct the response community engagement training. That's number one. Number two is to have this strong partnership of response community engagement training to community health workers and vaccine champion training to the 35 members of the community that were selected as participants. And these are our champions on the ground. We also collaborate in taking our booster doses to the expected outcome. Right now, our goal is to achieve 70% with our booster dose. And if you do right now, our third dose or first booster is sitting at 54.6%, and it's been sitting on that coverage for quite some time, even though the vaccination uptake on the ground continues to come like 2 a day or 5 in a week. slow as it is, the people do come forward, as we saw on radio in another media. The team has placed in the continued partnership in capacity building, just tailoring the package to suit Fiji and our context, with an aim to continue to build two things which are very important for us, the skills and the confidence to address misinformation or anything of that sort, right? And on which still affects still causes a little bit of hesitancy. And so with the vaccine champion, a team conducting training on this, it means it would boost the conversations on the ground with the impact, and at the same time move towards other vaccine initiatives in the future. Vinayaka.
Thank you, Sister Liddy. And the same question for you too, Anne. What measures are in place or do you think should be in place to ensure positively changed attitudes towards immunization are sustained in Vietnam going forward following the Vaccine Champions program?
In Vietnam, we are working on and we hope to be able to continue supporting the Ministry of Health and the expanded program on immunization to strengthen the capacity of the system. The several things that we need to do. First of all, we need to develop a program on capacity building on vaccine communication using the local budget and integrating into the existing activities of the EPI program to make it sustainable. Number two, we need to support Ministry of Health to review and redesign the database for the EPI program in order to help the government to identify the gaps in the program implementation so that they can act fast and act effectively. Number three, we discuss with the EPI program and we think that in the future, we need to provide technical assistance to build capacity for the NITAC, the National Immunization. Certainly, in the future, we need to provide support for the EPI program to improve capacity of the National Immunization Technical Advisory Group, the NITAC, which already exists in Vietnam but hasn't got sufficient funding and capacity to run in a more effective way. And finally, we hope that in the coming months, we'll be able to help the local organization to develop a platform to share evidence-based information on vaccine for the community, delivering in their own language in the way that they would prefer to review whenever they have questions or concern about vaccine.
I'd like to thank Sister Liddy, Professor Tu An, and Professor Margie Danchin. Thank you so much for your time today and for joining me on Containers. You've been listening to Sister Liddy, the National Program Manager for the Expanded Program of Immunization and Supply Chain, who is also the Fiji COVID-19 Vaccination Lead working within Fiji's Ministry of Health and Medical Services. Professor Tu An, who is Head of the Wolcock Institute of Medical Research in Vietnam, as well as Professor Margie Danchin, a pediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital and Group Leader of the Vaccine Uptake Group at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Thank you for tuning in to Contain This.
Contain This is produced by the Indo-Pacific Centre for Health Security. We acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of country throughout Australia and the Indo-Pacific region. We recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and community and pay our respects to elders past and present. You can follow us on Twitter @CentreHealthSec.